From Valley Public Radio, you're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Today on our show, author Mark Arax on the history of race and real estate in the city of Fresno. And later, an LGBTQ entertainer reflects on why the pandemic forced him to slow down and evaluate his mental health. But first, take a minute and think back to the last time you really listened to somebody whose political opinions were very different from your own. Was it a few weeks ago? A few months ago? Was it ever? Well, today, Valley Public Radio and the Public History Project StoryCorps are inviting you to meet the challenge. It's called One Small Step. Meet a stranger with a different political view for a personal 50-minute conversation about your lives.
Why did you decide to do this today?
When I heard about this opportunity, it was like, I would love to do this and just share some things with somebody I would never meet before, like you.
I grew up in Wichita, and I identify as a conservative.
I'm not a maniac liberal. I'm relatively moderate.
I would like to say I'm a traditional Republican.
A lot of what I believe is all about personal freedom and expression. Mm-hmm. I think so many of us, our lives are difficult because we're kind of forced into boxes and labels.
Politically, I'm on more of the conservative side, but I have an open mind, and I learned a long time ago I don't like being judged, so I leave all the judging to God.
I was kind of relieved to hear that you identify as conservative and you're a believer, but you also don't agree with everything.
You know, I don't consider myself a communist or pinko, whatever that means, but I am a bleeding heart liberal.
You know, we all see the world through different pair of glasses. And none of us are perfect, and we don't always agree.
This tsunami is not going to be survivable if we don't start talking to each other and seeing each other as human beings. We will not survive it as a species if we don't do this thing, and that's simply talk to each other.
I think part of it is we don't like tell stories enough or have conversations like this. And I think when you hear somebody's story, it shapes who you are today.
I have had affirmed for me what I feel like I've long known, which is that we can always find things that we have in common.
I really believe in the idea of what we're doing, which is being able to sit down and have a civil, open-minded conversation with someone who sees things differently than you do.
Nobody likes to talk about it. I don't know why.
You can talk about it all you want.
Thank you. I hold out optimism, so I'm super grateful.
I believe in talking, and I believe in listening and trying to understand where other people are coming from. So that's why I wanted to participate in this today.
This was fun.
I feel very lucky to be in this world, and I treasure every day. And you're one of my new treasures. I got to meet you.
And that was a montage of voices from the One Small Step initiative. Joining me to talk more about this exciting project are FM89's news director, Alice Daniel, and producer, Sonia Mermond. Alice, tell us more about this effort.
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. So most listeners are probably familiar with the StoryCorps segments you hear on NPR stations like Valley Public Radio. It's usually conversations between two people that are often really inspiring. Maybe it's two best friends talking about an experience they shared, or a mother and daughter reflecting on a family tradition. I mean, these are segments that fall under that heading, driveway moments. The ones you stick around to listen to, even if you've already arrived at your destination. Often we even shed a few tears listening to them because in part they represent the best in all of us. And that's what One Small Step hopes to do, help us see the humanity in others, especially those we might typically disagree with. So let me give you an example. Days after the 2016 election, a student at the University of Texas, Amina Amdeen, who is Muslim, came to a march protesting the election of Donald Trump. Attending the same rally was a Trump supporter, Joseph Wideneck, sporting a Make America Great Again cap and a sign that read, "Proud to be deplorable." But something happened at that protest that brought them together, and it was captured again when these two people, from markedly different backgrounds, agreed to talk to each other for one small step. Here's a segment from their conversation.
I noticed you with the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you were surrounded by some people, and I noticed that they were being kind of threatening.
I heard a click of a lighter right behind my ear, and there were about three people trying to light my shirt on fire with lighters.
And then somebody snatched your hat off your head. And that's the point where something kind of snapped inside me, because I wear a Muslim hijab, and I've been in situations where people have tried to snatch it off my head.
Wow.
And I rushed towards you, and I just started screaming, "Leave him alone, give me that back."
I don't think we could be any further apart as people, and yet it was just kind of like this common, "That's not okay" moment. You are genuinely the only Muslim person I know. It's not that I've actively avoided, it's just,
yeah.
I've just never been in the position where I can interact mm-hmm. for an extended period of time. So I guess my views on the Muslim community have been influenced by a lot of the news articles and things of that nature.
I feel like a lot of times in the media, you don't see the normal Muslim, the one that listens to classic rock like I do. you don't meet that Muslim.
Can you tell me about where you grew up? What was that part of your life like?
So I was born in Baghdad in Iraq. I moved to the U.S. when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
Being a Muslim girl, I stood out in almost every single way that you can in middle school, the worst time to stand out. What about you? How was it like when you grew up?
I was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. So it was a vastly different experience socially. I didn't have, I guess, as many friends as most people would. I only went to public school 1 year of my life, and I got in 3 fights, and I lost all of them. I actually lost a lot of friends because of this election, because of my political stance. So I hope that I can be the reason that someone decides to talk to someone, as opposed to just cutting them out of their life or blocking them on Twitter, yeah. You know?
I'd like for this to encourage other people to engage in more conversations yeah. with people that you don't agree with.
That's what it's all about. I'm so glad I wasn't the only one who felt like that.
Wow. It's so clear that these are people with very different perspectives coming together to talk about an incident that actually brought them closer together.
Yes, and it's amazing they met later to talk about that experience. And these are the kinds of conversations we hope to have here in the San Joaquin Valley. And you know, we are just one of 6 public radio stations across the country chosen to host One Small Step this year. Listeners might recall last year in February 2020, it seems like eons ago, I know, StoryCorps had a mobile booth in Bakersfield in Fresno, and people signed up to participate. StoryCorps then recorded the conversations, and as a partner in the project, we had access to all of the audio and were able to produce our own StoryCorps San Joaquin segments. There was the one about a daughter learning more about her grandmother's social justice legacy in the town of Delano. There was the one about 2 lifelong friends who talked about their experiences being forced into internment camps during World War II. All of those segments can be accessed on our website at kvpr.org. So One Small Step is different in that the conversations are between 2 people who don't know each other and have very different political opinions. That's really a step away from what we're used to with StoryCorps. And as we've said, the goal is to find some common ground or understanding of each other. It's not a debate, it's a conversation. They don't have to talk politics. So let's take a listen to another segment. Here's a conversation that took place in Denver between Tiffany Brasinio and Israel Barry Eshua.
I'm a single father. I have 2 children. I actually grew up in Griffin Spaulding County. If you're born in that county, you have like a 16% chance of getting out of poverty. So I'm like the 16%. Mm-hmm. And I tell that to my children. There's no excuses. It comes from within.
And something that I also convey to my children, my parents grew up with nothing. My mom didn't have shoes, didn't have food, that kind of thing. And you know, she's the one kid that put herself through college as a single parent.
Yeah. When you think about the future, what are you most scared of?
I am just really nervous for my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like right now, everything is just mean and nasty.
Instead of reacting with kindness or
yeah.
compassion, people are quick to react with, I guess, hate or anger, and not just like me and you're doing, sitting here talking and try to understand perspectives.
Is there one thing that you respect about the way that I see the world?
No.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think you said that you want the best for this country. I respect that view, and I agree with that view.
Okay.
Is there anything that you respect that I said today?
That you're a hardworking single father that wants what's best for his children, and I think that that's commendable and common between you and I, for sure. So,
thank you.
So as you can see, the project hopes to move people beyond labels and see the life experiences that shape our worlds, even if they completely disagree with each other. And, you know, those two did completely disagree with each other, but the humor that they used to sort of approach it was really kind of a relief from what we're used to hearing in conversations. This project is also a little bit different from the StoryCorps mobile booth that was here last year, in that Valley Public Radio is doing the actual outreach to get people to participate. We'll also be facilitating the conversations, which will take place online.
And so that's where you come in, Sonia. Tell us about your plans for outreach. And, you know, if somebody wants to sign up right now, where should they go?
So there are a few options. People can go to kbpr.org. The One Small Step Project has a web page that tells you a bit more about the project and also has the link for the application. Or you can just Google KVPR One Small Step and it'll show up as well. So the application form will ask if you've got a conversation partner in mind, but keep in mind that this project is an opportunity for strangers to meet and talk. So that's actually not a requirement to have someone in mind. It'll also ask about your political and social beliefs, the importance of religion to you, your interests, your life experiences, and you'll also be asked to write a bio. So if you are chosen to participate, your partner will read your bio to get the conversation started. So keeping that in mind, writing that bio is an important step in kind of how you want to present yourself to your partner and to whoever's listening. And in terms of outreach, like Alice said, this project is really different from other StoryCorps projects in that the people who will participate don't necessarily know each other and we match them. And we want to take advantage of the fact that this can take place virtually. So we want the outreach to cover as much as of KVPR's listening area as we can. So people who may not have had access to the StoryCorps trailer, people living in more regional or rural areas of the San Joaquin Valley, we really encourage them to sign up and participate because there is a virtual option. And we also want to take advantage of the return to public life that's happening right now. So going to, you know, farmers markets, doing some outreach there, all the many food truck festivals that happen in this region, and even turning to faith institutions. Churches, mosques, Sikh and Buddhist temples, they all play a really important role in the region. And we really want to involve them in the outreach process as well. And another group that I'm seeking to engage, and that this might be because of self-interest, because I take part in this group, but people in the kind of younger age range, under 30, I think it's really important, the ethos of this project, it aligns strongly, I think, with people in the under 30 range. You know, we're stepping out of this pandemic, out of being in isolation and faced with the task of building a new world. And, you know, we need to step out of our silos and see one another as fully human. And, you know, people have been turning to social media to fill that need for the social life while we've all been locked up, locked away. But we all know how polarizing these spaces can be and how it blocks us into echo chambers. And I think that One Small Step really provides a great opportunity to step out of our echo chambers and to hear from other people in their full context.
Absolutely. So for those who are selected to participate, I'm interested in hearing more about the process. How do you facilitate the conversations, and are there specific questions that each participant asks?
So our goals as facilitators are to create a safe space. We won't necessarily be participating in the conversation. That's the participants will be interviewing one another, but the facilitator's role is to make sure that the interview is safe, that it goes smoothly, and we will feed questions to the participants through the chat, and there's a chat function in the virtual platform. And, you know, if we need to step in and answer some questions or help out, that of course can happen. But really, my goal is to be a fly on the virtual wall. And my goal is for people to leave these interviews feeling energized and hopeful. Like Alice said before, this is not a debate or an argument. The goal of this interview is to listen to one another and understand another person's rationale and context. So your goal is not to convince the other person of your views necessarily, but to understand their views and understand how and why they got to their beliefs. And so that will involve asking questions like, what made you want to do this interview today? And, you know, some of those questions you heard in the clips before, like who has been the most influential person in your life? What did they teach you? And, you know, do you ever feel misunderstood by people who have different beliefs than you? Or do you ever feel troubled by people with the same beliefs as you? And these questions are really an opportunity for people to step out of those Republican-Democrat binaries that we've been pushed into over the past few years with the last election cycle. You know, no one really fully subscribes to every single belief of the party. And I think that these questions are an opportunity for people to step out of the binary of Republican and Democrat that we feel like we're getting increasingly pushed into. And as we've all seen in the past election cycle as well, you know, most people don't fully subscribe to every single belief of their party. And so these questions are a way to really point that out and to really go into depth about how and why we believe what we believe. And so if participants agree, the conversations will be archived as a part of American history in the Library of Congress. But this is ultimately the participant's choice. So the interview is not live broadcast, it's recorded, and someone can agree to put it into the Library of Congress, or they can decide not to. So the agency is with both participants. And, you know, that being said, I just want to add that this is an opportunity to make your mark, committing something to memory and archiving. These are all intentional acts and they're all choices. So oftentimes histories are intentionally left out of archives, and we are reckoning with that as a nation currently. So taking part in One Small Step is an opportunity to record this historical moment, and we all know how much history was made in the past year and a half. So StoryCorps has created a really fantastic project that allows for rich, deep, and diverse historical record to emerge from the individual stories of Americans. And we want the Central Valley stories to be heard and remembered as well.
Absolutely. We should also mention that listeners can find many One Small Step conversations online at StoryCorps.com. So, Alice, I know you produced several of the StoryCorps San Joaquin segments earlier this year. Will Valley Public Radio also produce some of these One Small Step conversations?
Yes. So we will record at least 25 conversations between people. And yes, we're looking forward to producing several short segments like we did with StoryCorps and like you heard today from other stations. But the bulk of the work really is in the process, that is in getting people to sign up and have these conversations. Sonia and I were in a training a couple of weeks ago, and we were able to meet with Dave Isay, who's the founder of StoryCorps, and he talked about why he is now doing this One Small Step project. We've all seen how people of different political beliefs act toward each other these days. I mean, when we're at our worst, it's truly disturbing and frightening. And what ISAY hopes to do is just break down those walls a little bit, get people to know each other. As he said, it's hard to hate up close. So that's what we really hope. You know, people with different political viewpoints will take part in these conversations, will sign up and get something out of it so that they do walk away feeling a little bit better.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about how these conversations go. Thank you, Alice and Sonia, so much for being with us. And before we move on to another topic, let's hear one more example of a one small step conversation. Back in 2015, a woman from Coon Rapids, Minnesota, Asma Jama, was out to eat with her family when another patron attacked her with a glass beer mug and lacerated her face. Her offense? Speaking Swahili and wearing a hijab. The attacker pleaded guilty and served time in jail for the assault crime. After the trial, the attacker's sister, Dawn Saar, reached out to Asma Jama. Here's a short segment of their conversation.
I wanted to reach out to you so much. I just wanted to know that you were okay. That was my biggest concern.
That was my biggest concern too. I used to be carefree. I used to go everywhere by myself. I would say hi to strangers. But after what happened to me, I felt like I had to look over my shoulder every time I go outside.
I was so sorry you had to go through that.
Did you stop talking to her because of what she did to me?
I did, yeah.
Why can't you forgive her?
Because then it's telling Jody that it's okay. And it's not okay. Do you feel like you can't speak Swahili in public anymore?
Yes, because I realize I don't belong. I have to prove myself every single day. And it makes me feel like I had to give up a lot of who I was.
I'm going to pray that you can eventually become that person you used to be.
I will get there. It's going to take me a while. But for you to stand up for somebody you don't know and to say that what she did was unacceptable, that meant the world to me.
I will support you in any possible way I can. You know, they say blood's thicker than water and you stand behind your family no matter what. Well, you got to draw a line somewhere. And you're my line.
Thank you.